In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As a boy, when I was particularly talkative and inattentive, my mother often said, God gave you two ears and one mouth so that you would listen twice as much as you talk. I don't think she was the only mother that ever said that to a child, but perhaps the notion has been forgotten. We certainly have no lack of noise that streams to our ears. Now it's even wireless. In fact, you can hear noise everywhere. For the love of Mike, even greeting cards speak their messages. My mother also asked me, do you hear me? To which I responded, yes. And she would retort, but are you listening? Which is an important distinction, illustrated by the following conversation. Two men talking over coffee one day. One said, I'm concerned about my wife. She talks to herself a lot these days. The other said, mine too, but she doesn't know it. She thinks I'm listening. That doesn't work. We must learn to listen, to hear, especially to our spouses and our mothers. About two centuries ago, Danish theologian and philosopher Søren Kierkegaard said that if he were a doctor and were allowed to prescribe just one remedy for all of the ills of humankind in the modern world of his day, he would prescribe silence. For even if the word of God were proclaimed, Kierkegaard said, it would not be heard or heeded, for there's too much noise and busyness in our world. Focusing primarily today on the Old Testament narrative about the call of Samuel and the Holy Gospel's account of the callings of Philip and Nathanael brings to mind the divinely inspired words of Isaiah chapter 55. Listen, listen to me. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. And so this morning we consider the theme, divine hearing aids. Samuel had been given to Yahweh and brought to the Lord's house as a young child, shortly after having been weaned. It seems as though he was some kind of an apprentice, helping the aged Eli in various traditional priestly duties in the tabernacle. The nation of Israel was at a time of spiritual poverty, marked by spiritual rebellion, as well as prophetic inactivity. Eli the high priest was old and weak. His sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. Even in such a corrupt society, their conduct was considered scandalous. They took the best parts of the sacrifices of the faithful families for their own consumption. The Lord put the message as follows, fattening yourselves on the choicest parts of every offering of my people, Israel. Their open immorality was well known. And sadly, the only step that Eli would take was to issue a rather mild rebuke. And the Lord was compelled to judge this wickedness so that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. These words remind us of the Lord's warning through the prophet Amos. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Men will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. And these events remind us that any people which becomes defiantly disobedient or apathetic concerning God's word, unless they repent, eventually they will be totally deprived of that word. These are people that, like us, need hearing aids. Such a warning is still appropriate for the world and the church today. To say that there is a wholesale closing of ears to the word of God is surely a glaring understatement, even among church people. And when I speak of the closing of ears, I do so both literally and metaphorically, because even those who are hearing impaired can join the rest of us in being careless with and ignorant toward the word of God. And these sins of hearing and listening to the Lord, together with our sinful natures, which influence us against God's word, warrant nothing less than both physical death and eternal punishment in hell. Because God does not want us to perish temporally or eternally, He seeks and calls and so enables us to repent. He makes us contrite on account of our sin and gives us faith to believe the gospel, which tells us that our sin has been forgiven and grace has been obtained through Christ. With such faith and contrition, we desire to do better than to keep on sinning. And when we repent, then God forgives us of our sinful nature and all of our actual sins. He forgives us for the sake of Christ. At the cross, Christ carried all sin for all time for all of humankind in His own body. At the cross, Jesus is your substitute, the innocent one for the guilty. He suffered and died in our place to pay the penalty we deserve for our sins. And He now offers forgiveness, not revenge, to those whose sins nailed Him to that cross. Rising again from the dead, victorious over sin, Satan, and death, now giving us life and salvation. Living in such repentance and faith, we, like Samuel, are ready to say, "Speak, for your servant is listening." St. John's Gospel this morning reminds us of this Jesus, which was proclaimed on Christmas Day as the Logos made flesh, the Word of God incarnate, must be heard. Now, here's an idea. To save time, why don't we just print out the readings for each Sunday and then instruct you to go home and read them for yourselves? Because we must proclaim the Word of God again and again, over and over. And we believe that in order to receive the benefits of Christ's passion, death, and resurrection, we must hear Him. We must come into contact with our Lord in His Word in all of its forms. His voice calls us as He connects His Word to the water of holy baptism. His voice calls to us as His Word is read and expounded and spoken and prayed in divine services such as this. His voice calls us as His Word of holy absolution comforts us and relieves us from despair. His voice calls us as His Word, together with bread and wine, nourishes us with His true body and true blood given and shed for us. Here, through the Word and the sacraments, Our Lord aids our hearing, opening our ears and our hearts to cherish that which creates and sustains true faith. The means of grace are God's gracious gifts to enable a keen sense of hearing in the midst of a world filled with voices that would lead us rather to despise preaching and His word. In ancient Israel, the people of God had deserted the faith to such a degree that they deserved to have God's word and revelation removed forever. Yet, in His great mercy, God would raise up a faithful messenger, in this case, Samuel, through whom God would continue to proclaim His grace, His mercy in His word, as He would reveal Himself to His people. Samuel would serve God in Israel as prophet and priest and judge. And Samuel would receive God's word, and he would proclaim it again clearly so that spiritual integrity might be restored to Israel. In the gospel today, like the Samuel narrative, our Lord takes the initiative in seeking out and calling Philip and in calling and in blessing Nathanael. Philip encountered Jesus, and he believed that he was the Messiah. He then went and found Nathanael and told him. Nathanael responded cynically and skeptically that the Messiah couldn't come from such an insignificant town as Nazareth. And Philip simply tells him to put his prejudice aside. And when Nathanael later meets Jesus, he believes and confesses that Jesus is both the Son of God and the King of Israel. In both of these narratives, God uses other agents of opening ears. Eli with Samuel and Philip with Nathanael. Likewise, God today has agents in the pastoral office who, through the faithful administration of word and sacraments, gives the forgiveness of sins, empowering believers to live out their vocation of Christian witness in the midst of their daily callings and stations. We not only have the ability to find new ways to present God's love to the loveless, we have the knowledge to confront all the voices which drown out God's true word. My grandparents referred to the radio as the squawk box. They told me of hours and hours as children in which they would sit in front of the radio with classic programs like The Shadow, The Lone Ranger, and so forth. They said that the radio was replaced by the television, which they then called the boob tube. And now there's no limit to the sources of noise, some of which is even called music. Yet in spite of all the racket, we hear the voice of God. Sometimes the still, small voice of God that Elijah heard after the storm and the earthquake and the fire. This same voice speaks to us in today's psalm. His hand shall lead us, and His right hand shall hold us. This same voice called the universe into existence by the one who still governs things in heaven and on earth, as we prayed in today's collect. This same voice speaks to us in today's epistle, reminding us of the importance of our witness of fleeing immorality and glorifying God in our bodies. And it is the recalling of this same voice of mercy, grace, forgiveness of sins, and salvation that brings us comfort and hope in the darkness of our cares, fears, and dreadful threats, including relationship, fiscal, or health uncertainties, terminal illness, and death. And it will be the same voice that we hear when we see heaven opened and the Son of Man ascending and descending. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which transcends our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.